exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Welcome to another episode of Life Shouldn't Hurt. I'm your host, Gran Fedoruk. And for the next 30 minutes, I have the privilege of listening to and sharing some amazing, very real life stories about lifestyle, health, and well-being with all of you amazing people. Now, today I have Emmy Steubing sitting with me, and it is a distinct privilege because she is the leader, chief executive officer of the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center here in Edmonton, a first of its kind when it was first created. Now, this topic can be uncomfortable for many people. We will be talking about child abuse and our response to it. We know it touches far more people than anyone can imagine, but I also think there's huge value in screaming at the top of our lungs. I know I do it at the top of mine about the center and its work that it does and the impact it has on so many kids in a positive way. So let's get right to it. Emmy, why don't you tell us exactly about yourself and what you get to do, and what exactly is the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center?
You bet. Thank you, Grant. I am so excited to be a part of the Zebra Center Herd. I'll actually start off just by saying people always ask, why zebra? Why is it called the Zebra Center? And that's because in the wild, if there's ever a danger or a threat, adult zebras will encircle around the young and the vulnerable to camouflage and protect them. And that's very much what happens at the Zebra Center here in Edmonton. When it was established in 2002, so more than 20 years ago, it was the first of its kind in all of Canada. And it was created as a response, our community's response to child abuse. And the real intention, it came from police officers, from teachers, from community members who had accompanied kids who'd experienced abuse, and their experiences weren't great after the fact. So they would have to go to grown-up scary places like a police station where children, that can just add to the trauma of what they've already been through. And they just thought, we can do better. And thankfully, enough community members and partners collaborated and got the Zebra Center off the ground. And so now today, it's basically a place where we have a multidisciplinary team of police, social workers, justice prosecutors, we have therapists and medical experts all working together to help children as they journey from investigations, navigating the judicial system, as well as healing, so that they can hopefully go forward in their lives and put this terrible experience behind them.
I think you did just a wonderful job. I know when I get asked about it in the community, people think it's somewhere where kids stay.
Yeah.
You know, you describe it as a center. Oh, yes. Kids go there when it's not a center where they stay overnight and where they're taken away from their families. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They're obviously with the non-offending family members, and it's a response of the community to help them steer their way through this time and hopefully mitigate the impact of the whole experience. And I've seen it firsthand. Now, why don't you describe how is it that a child might come to the attention of the child advocacy centers?
As soon as abuse is reported, it comes to the Zebra Center. And so that's perhaps one of the most important messages that I have today is if you suspect something happening, if there's a child in your life where their behavior has been changing, or like maybe you're a teacher and like you've noticed a change or you've been noticing like bruises, whatever, among some students, if you suspect something, report it. And I will add that every adult in Alberta has a legal obligation to report. So it's actually our job as grown-ups to do this. But once abuse is reported to either police or children's services, it comes to the Zebra Center. And this is actually a pretty cool thing because every day at 9 a.m., we have an intake meeting. And at this table, we have representatives from the police, from children's services, from all of our partners. And they basically work together to make a safety plan for the child. Okay, do they need to come in and have an interview? Like, how urgent is it? Do they have siblings? Like, just trying to kind of figure out what's the best plan for that child. There is no one size fits all. And from there, everyone in the center leaps to action. And that's just the cool thing is we all work together. Kids, like, things don't fall through cracks. I've sat through meetings where someone's asking, oh, do they need a change of clothes? Oh, have they eaten anything yet? Everyone is looking after that child and working together. And people have often asked me, oh, Emmy, it must be so depressing and sad working at the Zebra Center. And while, yes, the kids and the families that come there have been through the worst day of their lives, hopefully that's the worst, there's nothing more. I know when they come to the Zebra Center, they're in really good hands and that our team is going to do all they can to look after that child, their family, and make sure they're poised for success going forward. So I think that's a pretty cool thing that we should all be very proud to talk about.
We're talking with Emmy Steubing, the CEO of the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center, and she's been describing in great detail how kids are looked after, how they're surrounded by a community that are going to make a difference in their journey beyond the abuse they've faced. And now abuse takes many forms. Mm-hmm. It takes neglect. It can be physical abuse. It can be sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. There's a high percentage of people and children that are actually impacted by it. And I think it's very touching that you got to that point where, yes, they've been impacted in a negative way, but the response of the community is such a positive one. It's quite uplifting. Now, I think that we owe it to our listeners to describe what the center itself, what it looks like from a child's perspective when they walk through those doors.
Well, like I say, the whole center is created intentionally to be child friendly and child focused. So from when they come in, at the moment, we're located in an office building, which is not ideal, but we do our best to make it as child friendly and colorful and warm as possible. The children and their families, we respect their privacy and we bring them in. They each get their own family room to kind of hang out in while the child is receiving their various supports. But there's toys, there's games, there's books, there's movies. We also have our facility dogs, which are quite the popular. I wish we had enough for every child who comes in. We only right now have 3, but they come and just provide comfort, and they do make a big difference in just helping the child and their family, their safe caregivers, relax. But I've heard of many children, and I've experienced this, where they come in, they've been through this terrible situation, and they don't want to leave. They don't want to go home. They want to stay longer and keep playing or keep interacting with our team or our volunteers or our staff. And of course, I would be remiss to not mention that after a child discloses what happens or goes through court preparation, whatever they've gone through, we always take them then to the toy closet, which, seeing them light up and like getting a reward for being brave, basically, is what it's for. And it becomes a touchstone for them. I've heard of kids who came in for an interview, and they took home, whether it was a stuffed animal or a quilt or whatever, but then if the case went to court, they brought that along with them. It kind of became like just like their courage that they carried with them. And that's great.
Part of their support network. And I think we're going to talk about this more, because as you were describing things, boy, my mind just started racing to every last little detail within the advocacy center that is so geared toward those children, from toys in the rooms that have to keep them occupied while they might be waiting for their interview, to the art on the wall, to the zebra when you come through the door, seats that are meant for them, desks
snacks,
at their height,
all the
snacks,
food.
I'll tell you, and toys that always have batteries that are always going to work, because heaven forbid, we don't want to let these kids down. And it puts a smile back on my face and the attention and the work that you do. But it's not just the people who work at the center. It's made up of very important volunteers as well.
Absolutely. Honestly, Grant, so last year we helped over 4,500 kids, and that's just for the Edmonton area and Capital Region. And I mean, we couldn't afford to hire enough staff members to provide all the support. So we count on an army of volunteers who journey with the children and their families. They serve as advocates both in the center as well as accompanying them to the courthouse. We also have volunteers who serve on various committees, our board, all of these different areas. And working together, they make this cumulative impact in helping the children get to a better place.
Well, We've got so much more to talk about. We're talking with Emmy Steubing, CEO of, and I'm getting used to it, the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center. I have to read it. I've said it so many times under its old name, but I'm just excited to bring her right back. We're talking about the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center right here on the Chorus Radio Network.
Exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Thanks for joining us today on Life Shouldn't Hurt. I'm your friendly neighborhood physiotherapist from Leading Edge Physiotherapy. And remember, you too can share your ideas, stories, and feedback directly with me on Twitter at Leading Edge PT. And today we've been talking to Emmy Steubing, CEO of the Zebra Center. We're going to keep it that way for short. And we were just talking about the important role of the volunteers. And off air, we were talking about the meaningful impact that they've not only have for these children, but how they can feel themselves.
Absolutely. I was mentioning to Grant off air that I've been fortunate to spend my whole career working in the nonprofit sector. And I am also a volunteer in a variety of capacities. But I can say, truthfully, that I have never seen a more meaningful volunteer experience than at the Zebra Center. Our volunteer program is essential. We have over 100 active volunteers right now who are providing frontline supports for the thousands of children and families that come to the center every year. And by this, what I mean is they, from the time the children and families arrive at the center, our volunteers journey with them. Our volunteers aren't police detectives. They're not social workers. They're not doing the technical work, but they're providing the support and they're providing the information and making sure the families have the resources they need. They're working one-on-one. They're making calls, making sure the families know all about what court dates they would need to go to, what they don't need to, because most people don't understand all of this. I'm still learning myself, I have to say. Our advocates help the families navigate this really unique world during such a stressful time. And I just have the utmost admiration and pride to get to work alongside all of our volunteers.
Yeah, so. And their training is extensive. Yes. I've been fortunate enough to kind of see the whole process, and it's not light. It is extensive, because you can imagine, anybody listening can imagine the topic, and obviously it can be very uncomfortable, but what comes first is that child. And the Zebra Center puts a huge emphasis on making sure that that experience that child's going to have beyond their abuse is so well supported. Why don't you describe what that training is
Absolutely.
Like?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, people can't just walk off the street and just become a volunteer. We have it's about a 3-week training program, which we do a couple times a year. So we only do intake in periods, and we'll train maybe 10 or 20 volunteers at a time, just because it is so intensive. And during this training, they receive education around everything from trauma-informed approaches to learning about the justice system to best practices for their interactions with the families, that kind of thing, as well as opportunities to do practice phone calls. So they're not just thrown right into it, but it's a long commitment just to go through the training, let alone then we do ask our volunteers after going through that to commit at least one shift per week. And so that for a year. So it's a big commitment. But I really do believe it's very rewarding. We have a number of volunteers who've been with us for years, including yourself, Grant, and your family have been volunteers. And we're so thankful for that. It truly takes a whole community to help all the children that come through the Zebra Center.
Yes, Emmy Steubing, with the CEO of the Zebra Child Center, the Child and Youth Advocacy Center. Emmy, I think it's worth going back a step. You made a very important point during the training about their experience and their knowledge of the justice system, because these children, after they've disclosed or after a report has come forward, the whole process is designed to help guide and support them through that portion. And it's very important that it's done professionally, and that at the end of the day, outcomes aren't just about a conviction, but also about that child having an opportunity to move on. And I think that's the easiest way to describe it, because while that might be with them for life, their experience also will be with them for life.
Absolutely. It can. In fact, one of our current staff members, she just joined our herd a few months ago. She is a survivor of childhood abuse. And she always says she's not a victim. It made her stronger, like going through this. And now she's in a position where she gets to give back and help these kids that are going through that. One thing I will add, like, while we want to make sure, this is why when we do, when the forensic interviews take place in the Zebra Center. So this is where either a police detective or a social worker might meet with a child and work with them together to get them to disclose what happened to them. We video record that so the child doesn't have to tell their story over and over and over again. But then the beautiful thing is we can then use that footage in court. But sometimes the children still have to go to court to point out the offender. Not every case goes to court. Sometimes there's just different resolutions. But we want to be sure that our volunteers and our whole team are equipped to explain why things are going in a certain direction or not, whether it's from disclosure all the way to straight just to therapy. Not everyone needs therapy. It just depends. So
yes, and I think that therein lies a lot of the value in the in the approach being taken within advocacy centers now across Canada, in that if it's done well, if it's understood that this isn't the same as an adult going through this process, even getting a disclosure, maybe it's whispered. So the equipment in the room needs to be able to pick up a whisper. A dog in the room might provide that child the comfort they need and the courage they need to share something that nobody ever wishes to hear or a child should never have had to go through. But if it's captured in the right way, if it's followed and done in the right process, in a professional way, the Zebra Child Protection, or boy, oh boy, the Advocacy Center has done such a wonderful job because they may never actually have to go to court.
Exactly,
or the conviction can occur in the absence of the child
They'll
being
plead
in court.
Out, who knows? So no, we want to make sure that we get things right every step along the way. You mentioned that some people think that we might be like an overnight center or something. I find when people come for a tour, and I will say we're always happy to show people what the Zebra Center does.
And it's worth the tour. If you're curious of what's going on, boy, can you add to screaming at the top of our lungs, because seeing it and being impacted that way.
Well, people are just so surprised. I've heard them say, it's so sophisticated, the work that happens here. It is a child-friendly environment, but the work that's happening from our multidisciplinary team is top rate. And it's so that the child and their family don't have to feel they've been given up on, or they don't have to like just let it go. Like they hopefully will feel some resolution through all of this.
Emmy, what's next for the Zebra Center?
Oh, well, I mentioned that we're busy, and I know you've seen firsthand that we're kind of bursting at the seams. We've been in the same location our whole existence, 20 years. And so we're actively looking to develop a new Zebra Center where we can double our footprint. We want to have twice as many interview rooms. We want to have three times as many family rooms. We hope to have quadruple, actually, the number of therapy rooms for the children. We just don't have the space where we are right now. So we're looking for that right now. I think we're closing in, but then we will likely be looking for some support from the community to help help bring it to life. So stay tuned for more to come.
It's a community response, but it's also a community responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To step up and yes, it is. There's many government organizations involved, and hats off to all of them at EPS, RCMP, Crown Prosecutor's Office, Child Family Services. They all play a role. But as a community, I think we owe it to these children to have our own impact.
Yeah. And that's what the Zebra Center, that's what my team is. Like the Zebra Center Society is a registered charity. And my team, as I say, well, my team isn't doing the interviews. They're not doing the court. They're not prosecuting the offenders, but they're playing such an important role so that our partners can achieve their good results. And that is all supported through donations and grants. So we really do count on the community to provide that.
Well, Emmy, inspiring, if, to say the least, but more important, impactful, the work that you do and everybody and our volunteers at the Zebra Child and Youth Advocacy Center. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Thanks, Emmy. This has been Life Shouldn't Hurt on the Chorus Radio Network. We're here to make a difference. Inspiration, education, sharing stories, a chance to leave our communities healthy and vibrant. You're all a part of this journey. Help us out. Don't forget, share our show with anybody you care about. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. You can also check us out for helpful tips on common injuries and recovery on our YouTube channel. It's all called Life Shouldn't Hurt. Till next week, thank you, Emmy.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Grant Fedoruk. I appreciate all your time and trust. Be well.